But in Christ Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, all things are possible. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's why our theme this year for our men is men of power. I want our men to rise up and be men of power. Amen. Taking back our homes, taking back our families, taking back our marriages, taking back what the devil stole, flexing our spiritual muscles and saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can you say amen? Amen. His identity allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon him. It's very important that you catch all of this. Because, you know, Hollywood would tell you that his strength was in his hair. His strength was not in his hair, but his hair was his identity, and the power of God moved upon him because of his identity. The power of the Holy Spirit. We know that the power of the Holy Spirit in Judges 14 and 6 came upon him and he defeated the lion. How many's glad when the devil comes like a roaring lion? The Spirit of God can move upon us and we can defeat him. I don't know if I told you this testimony before, but when I was a youth pastor, assistant pastor of a church, I was with the pastor and we got a phone call, and a lady called the parsonage of the church and said that she was a witch, was a high priestess in the church of Satan. And she was coming to church to prove whose God was God. During worship, the doors opened and she came in a black robe and had half moons and stars on it, and came and sat on the front row. Shook some church people up. Praise and worship got a little shaky there. Right in the middle of praise and worship, she got up and walked to the front and stood there. The pastor looked at me and said, let's get her. I'm like, all right. You lead and I'll follow. And he went over and he got some oil and he put it on his hands. And he went to touch her, but before he ever touched her, she was slain in the spirit. My eyes got about this big around. He leaned over and he said, get up. And she said, I have tried and I cannot. He said, use your witchcraft power and get up. She said, I did and I cannot. He said, call out on Lucifer and get up. She said, I did. And he cannot. Tears begin to run out of her eyes. And he said, what does that tell you? And as tears was running out of her eyes, she said, Jesus is greater than Lucifer. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? I'm here to tell you that the power of God is stronger and we are victorious because of the power of God. It is time to realize that the devil is under our feet. We've got the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. When the power of God moves. But let me tell you, don't go fight him without the power of God. Don't go down that path. The Bible tells us of five sons of Sceva who tried that. And the devils in them said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? And whipped them, stripped them naked, and cast them out. Don't go messing with the devil if the power of God isn't moving in your life. That's good preaching right there. The power of God allowed him to, according to Judges 15 and 14, allowed him to break ropes that bound him. But I want you to listen to this. The Bible said the Spirit of God moved upon him. You know why? He had surrendered himself. He allowed them to tie him up. But when they began to shout and mock him and come against him with their words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. This is what the Bible said. And the ropes on him began to melt like wax.
Hallelujah.
Do you realize there's no power in hell that could bind you when the power of God is moving in your life? Do you realize drug and alcohol cannot bind you? Fear cannot bind you. Depression cannot bind you when the power of God is in your... Oh, this is good teaching. When the power of God is in your life. Amen. And then he took a jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men who had swords and shields and helmets. I like the fact that when the Spirit of God moves, it don't matter how big the enemy is. Me and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the majority. I've got to say that again. Me and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the majority. I don't care how big your battle is. When the power of God begins to move, you are victorious. Amen. I don't care how much you owe. I don't care how big your bills are. I don't care how bad it looks. When the Spirit of God moves, then you are the majority. But then he ran into Delilah. Lord, help us. Stay away from Delilah. Don't hang around Delilah. Amen? Delilah came from the valley of Sorek, which means fresh wine and intoxicating. Delilah, the word means brought low. Emptied, fail, impoverished. It don't matter how good Delilah looks when she means brought low, emptied, fail, impoverished. Don't you know that Delilah wants you to fail? How does Delilah get you to fail? She intoxicates you. You know what our problem is some of us think the only way we can get drunk is on alcohol. The Bible says we can get drunk by the cares of this life. You can get intoxicated by a lot of things. Somebody can brag upon you enough. Come on. Oh, man, you are so good looking. Come on, somebody. Amen. Oh, man, you got it going on.
Amen.
Amen. You get the staggering under it. You know, have you ever hung around a drunk? My uncle is an alcoholic, and I pray for him all the time. But when we were young, he would always come to our house drunk. And I loved it. Because he would look at me and say, come here, boy. What do I got here? And he would pull out money and say, don't tell the others. Not until you leave. Intoxicating can not only kill you, but kill others. But you've seen them. They're just happy and everything seems to be going good until the intoxication wears off.
That's right.
And reality comes back. We can be intoxicated by false reality.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. God, a long time ago, knocked my feet out from under me and let me know who I am with him and who I am without him. So you never have to worry about Pastor Mullins when, oh, Pastor Mullins, you're a great preacher. Yeah, you ought to hear me. What you hear is God in me. What you hear is the anointing. Wait till you hear me. Amen. Oh, you're a great singer, yeah? Let God pull his anointing off of you. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? So you can get intoxicated a lot of ways, but understand the enemy's trying to draw you from where God is wanting you to be. You can get intoxicated by money. You can be so into money that nothing else matters. Someone told me one time, said, I got more money than I know what to do with. I said, I know what to do with. We need Sunday school rooms. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, you can't take it with you. Yes. I'm reminded of the man who passed away. Before he passed away, he gave an envelope to his lawyer, to his pastor, and to his doctor, and put $100,000 in each one. Said to, or $1 million in each one, and said, when I die at my casket, you put these envelopes in my casket. I'm taking it with me. Funeral came. They all went up and shoved their envelope in. The casket was closed. They begin to talk. The doctor said, well, I have something to say to you, gentlemen. I know how much our dear brother loved my practice, so I just put in $600,000. I took $400,000 and opened another wing. But I know I put in his name, so it's going to be okay. And the lawyer said, well, that's good. I'm glad you say that, because I only put $500,000 in. I took $500,000 and opened up my own wing. And the pastor said, how dare you? I put the whole thing in there. But I didn't trust putting cash, so I put it in my bank and wrote a check. Now I got to gather you back. We can get intoxicated by a lot of things. We can get intoxicated by nice clothes. We can get intoxicated by a lot of things. But if it draws us from God, if it gets our mind away from God, the devil's trying to use it. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? To bring us down that we might fail. Let me tell you something. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes where you're going. God's got victory for you. Then he got too close to Delilah. He fell asleep. Turn around and tell your neighbor, don't fall asleep. Paul wrote in Corinthians, he said, don't sleep as others do. Stay awake that day doesn't come upon you unaware. Don't fall asleep. Jesus said to the disciples when he came back, couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? But they got tired and they fell asleep. The trap was set. And he fell into the trap. Everybody listen. The devil's got a trap for you. I'm going to say that again. The devil's got a trap for you. Don't hang around the trap. I've got to say that again. Don't hang around the trap. She said this. If you love me. She batted her eyes. If you love me, you'll tell me where your strength comes from. That's about the time to get up and run. That right there is the time to take off. Anybody hear me? You just put that gear shift in B for boogie and hit it. Get out of there. Run. Don't stick around. One of the worst things could happen is the devil to brag on you. Begin to flirt with you. Then he says, you know what? Tie me up with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and I shall lose my strength. He began to play a dangerous game. Listen to me. If you're on your job and that man or that woman on your job is kind of flirting with you, don't start playing a game. Don't play that game. Don't go down that road. You're playing a game you don't want to be in. But you understand the end is your destruction. the end is your fall. Then he says to her, because that don't work, because she tied him up. And then after she tied him up, she said, the Philistines are upon you. And he jumped up and he shook himself and the power of God came upon him and they broke. And he whipped the Philistines that came. And then she says, if you love me, you know, at some point he would have went, something's not right here. I told her this and she tied me up. And then Philistines came in. She's out to destroy me. But he was intoxicated. He was losing. Oh, this is good stuff right here. He was losing his good sense because he was intoxicated. Then she does that, ties him up with new ropes. The Philistines are boom, bam, whips him again. Oh, come on now. You're lying to me. You really don't care about me. You really don't love me. So then, you know what he does? He steps too close. Because now he begins to deal with his hair. Did anybody catch that?
Yeah.
Now he says his hair. You know, weave my hair in seven locks. And he starts getting close. And she did it. He fell asleep in her lap and she did it. And then she says, the Philistines are upon you. He gets up and sure enough, his strength is still there. At this time, I'd have found another place to sleep. Amen. That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Our problem is sometimes we like to hang around too long, too close. Listen to me. Everybody listen, this is going to be really good for you. You might get away with it the first time. They might not see you on the internet looking at the things you shouldn't be looking at the first time. And then you can say, oh, God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have been there. You know what? God's grace is sufficient to forgive you. Then you go on again. And then you feel guilty again. Oh, God, forgive me. But listen to me. You keep going back. Your conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron. And then you quit feeling bad. Everybody listen to me. Pain is good. Pain is good. If you didn't have pain, you wouldn't know something's wrong. Amen. If your gallbladder didn't hurt, you wouldn't know there was something wrong with it. And because you didn't know it would kill you, pain is good.
Amen.
But if you've ever been burned, we had a man in our church in Niagara Falls. He was burned 60% of his body. His arms were burned. After that, he could grab live electrical wires and hold it because he could not feel it. And we would be working on something or doing something. We'd look down and his arm was bleeding. I'd say, you're bleeding. He'd go, that I didn't even know. The problem is he could have cut himself severely and bled to death and he would have never known because his arm had been seared and he lost the nerves and he couldn't feel pain. And because of that, he put himself in danger. When your conscience gets seared and you don't feel guilty in, you put yourself in a dangerous spot. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying any name, but television evangelists, they got away with it for a while. They probably repented, but there came a time when God said, enough is enough. Then once again, he fell asleep in her lap. He lost his identity. He said, no razor has touched my head. If you cut my hair, I'll lose my strength. He lost his strength because he lost his identity. For the moment she cut his hair, he no longer was a Nazarite. Did anybody hear me what I'm saying? And because she cut his hair, he no longer was a Nazarite. Listen what happened. She said, the Philistines are upon you. And he stood up and he shook himself. Some of the saddest words in the Bible. And the Spirit of the Lord left him. He shook himself and could not feel the Spirit of the Lord. Man, that's a scary thing. Pastor, where are you going? Hold on. We're going to get there. He had no strength in himself. When the Philistines came, he could not defeat them on his own ability. Listen to me. You can't do this on your own. You have to have the presence of God, the power of the Holy Ghost. Before I go any further, what is our identity? And I prayed about this. And Pastor Fred, I sought God. God, what is the identity of Evangel Church of God? Are you ready? We are a church of faith. Yes. We still believe God is a healer. Yes. We still believe in miracles. We still believe that cancer is defeated. We still believe. We have faith. Somebody say amen. You know what we also are? We are a praising and worshiping church. Evangel Church of God, if we ever get to the place where we're too big, too high, too sophisticated to praise and worship God, we will lose our identity and we will lose the power of God in our church. Did you hear me what I'm saying? If we ever get that way, so let me tell you, as long as I'm the pastor of Evangel Church of God, when we get our new building and we're running 1,000, we will still be a praising, worshiping, glorifying God church. We still will jump. We still will run. We still will praise. We still will get slain in the spirit. We still will pray for one another, because I tell you what, if we have to lose the power of God, I'd rather stay right here and have the power of God. What is our identity? We are Pentecostal. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. We believe in words of knowledge and words of... Anybody hear me what I'm saying? We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe as the Spirit gives the utterance. We believe in praise and in worship God. We still believe our God is a miracle-working God. Amen. Hallelujah. And if we lose our identity, we will lose the power of God. Now, Pastor, you think that could happen? Listen to me. I know of churches and church people that used to shout and praise God are as dead as doorknobs right now. They haven't moved. Anything alive moves. Let me give you my testimony. When my dad got saved from being an alcoholic, we went to a church that did not believe in praise and worship in God. They didn't believe in healing or miracles. But let me tell you something. I thank God for that pastor that preached a message that touched my dad's life. You know, I went to Sunday school class. You know what they'd tell me? It's okay to dance to rock and roll, but it's a sin to dance to gospel music. Okay. I go to a little church of God outside of the town. First service, they start singing, "I'll fly away, oh glory." They were on the guitars and the drums. Old Brother Wilson just stepped right out in the aisle. I said, "What is going on?" Well, sitting right next to my mom, I said, "Mom, what's he doing?" She said, "He's dancing the Spirit." I said, "He's sinning. You can't dance to gospel music." Just then, a lady on the other side of the church lost her mind. She went, "Woo!" She would jerk her head like that, and she had all her hair rolled up in a little bun. When she did that, bobby pins. I was like, "Wow." 7, 8 years old. Wow. Lady up front didn't know if she was laughing or crying. I was like, "Man, this is a show." My mom kept elbowing me and telling me to be quiet. And I'm like, "Wow." People started going up front
and he was putting something on their hands and touching them, and they were dying. He was killing them. They were falling dead. I was like, wow. And they knew they were going to die too because they were catching them. They didn't have those cloths right there. They'd jerk off their jacket and throw it over the legs. I was like, wow. And I said, Mom, what are they doing? She said, they're praying for the sick to be healed. Amen. This was a young man that was born with a bad heart, had rheumatic fever, had a hole in his heart, could not play gym, couldn't walk across the floor. And I said, sick to be healed? She said, yeah. And I said, you think they'll pray for me? Ralph's a big man, big, big man. Grabbed my hand and walked me up front. He was crying the whole way up. When I got there, the pastor said, do you believe God can heal you? I said, yes. People gathered around me. He laid hands on me. And at 8 years old, I felt the glory of God hit me on top of my head. And this little boy, whose parents were told if he makes 21, it'll be a miracle, is about to celebrate 51.
Amen.
God healed me. But listen to me, it wasn't in their shout. It wasn't in their praise. It was in their identity.
Yes.
Oh, I wish somebody would. We can't lose our identity, church. I said we can't lose our identity. We've got to praise him. When I see these young people up front jumping and dancing, I said our identity is going to the next generation. Amen. That we are Pentecostal. We are praisers. We are worshipers. Oh, let me hurry up. He was bound. The enemy bound him. And he could not get free. The devil wants to bind us. He wants to stop us, get us bound up. The enemy wants to bind us with things of this world. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, lust, fear, and depression. I just found out, me and my wife just found out, someone we know very well in another state is addicted to Oxycontin. Addicted. And I think he's, what, 20, 24 years old. Addicted. Let me tell you something. You can get addicted to prescription drugs that the doctor gives you. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, God can set you free. Fear. You can get bound. If you've ever seen anybody in fear, so much fear that they're bound up by fear. They can't be what God's called them because of fear, because of depression. And then they blinded him. They literally plucked out his eyes. The enemy wants to blind us, church. Blind us from the truth. Blind us from seeing lost. Blind us from seeing hurting people. Have our own little congregation here and forget about the world. We ever get to that place, we're in trouble. God, open our eyes. Let us see the mission. Because a people without a vision perishes. If we are blind, we can be led astray. How does a Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled person end up a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon? How? They're blinded. They allow the enemy to take their vision. Are you still with me? Then they mocked him. The devil would love to do nothing more than to laugh and mock that Evangel Church of God has failed, that you have failed. Bound him at a grinding mill. The people mocked him. They treated him like an animal. Listen to me. Here's this great man of God this great man of God, whom defeated thousands, ripped gates out and carried him up a hill and threw him, defeated a lion, and now they're treating him like an animal. The devil doesn't want to play. He wants to destroy you. He wants to bring you down to the lowest. Take away anything God has for you. That's why we need to abstain from every appearance of evil. I was listening to the radio one night, Christian radio, and a man came on there. He had just got out of prison, had been in prison for 5 years. He was a pastor. This pastor got caught up in pornography on the internet. He got into it so deep that one night after church, he drove to the mall, waited. A young lady came out, got up, put a knife to her throat, took her in his car. When he sat down inside his car, he began to cry. And he said, "Oh God, what have I done?" He said, "I'm a pastor." Gave his name. "I am so sorry." She went to the police. He went to prison for 5 years. Now he's a sexual predator. That's what the enemy wants to do. When me and my wife was pastoring in Niagara Falls, a couple come to our office and needed counseling. He had his own business, was a carpenter, built things and did construction. He came home one night and decided to stop at a bar and have a beer. When he got there, a man came up to him and said, "Have you ever tried crack?" "No," he said, "let me give you one free." From that moment, which was about 9 o'clock at night, to 12 the next day, he spent $1,000 on crack cocaine. "Oh, man, no, no, don't worry about it. I can handle it. I can handle it." The next week, he spent his workers' paychecks. The week after that, he sold his tools. His girlfriend or wife wakes up and there's men in her house taking her TV out of her house because he owed it. They lost their home. He lost his business. He lost everything. And all it took was, just try it once. Listen to me, church. The devil wants to destroy you, to kill you. Facebooks, tweeters, better watch who you're talking to. Don't get caught up in the wrong things. Because listen, when David was supposed to be out fighting like the other kings were, he tarried behind and he was roaming around when he saw Bathsheba. Don't you think the enemy knew and set her there to destroy him? Yes. Cannot lose our identity. Amen. And I'm telling you, as long as I'm the pastor of this church, we will be Pentecostal. Amen. We will be a church of faith. Amen. We will be a praise and worship in church. Amen. Amen. And if ever you decide you don't want to be that, let me know. I'll go right down the road and buy another building. Because I cannot change. Amen. Amen. Because I was born in the fire.
and nothing but the fire will do. Can you say amen? We cannot lose our identity. We are Pentecostal. We are praisers. We are worshipers. We are a church of faith. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Can you say amen? It's all right to be slain in the Spirit. It's all right to shout. It's all right to worship. We get loud. We get emotional. That's who we are, and we cannot lose our identity. Stand with me, stand with me.